It's a deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The U.S. and European officials have been wrangling for months. Now, there are new rules about how much personal information Europeans should give American officials about passengers flying into this country. The rules also spell out how that information should be used. That was a big concern for Europe. After 9/11, American authorities demanded things like passengers' credit card details and special meal requests. Initially, airlines complied, but in May, a European court struck down the arrangement. Governments across Europe are expected to formally approve the new agreement next week. Beginning today, Walmart will offer big discounts on generic drugs at its stores in Florida. That move comes 4 months ahead of schedule. The retailer also said it will bring those cheap drugs to other states by the end of the year. Amy Scott explores what Walmart's decision will mean for consumers and competitors.
Florida customers will save an average 20% on certain generic prescriptions. Retail analyst Richard Hastings says rather than lose money, Walmart will make it up in other departments.
It puts a little bit more money back into the pockets of their existing shoppers so they can buy stuff in the stores.
The move may pressure competitors to lower their prices. Target has already said it will match the discounts. But Hastings doesn't expect pharmacy chains like Walgreens or CVS to take much of a hit.
They have a much stronger loyalty based on the shopper profile that prefers a small store, easy to walk into and out of, and they have a lot of drive-through pharmacies.
Hastings says the trend could hurt independent pharmacists that don't have the same buying power. Walmart had planned to start the Florida program early next year, but after selling 36,000 new prescriptions during a test in Tampa, the company decided not to wait. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Is it that time of year already? That's what a lot of us say when we see holiday decorations in October. Christmas may have come early for many retailers. Their sales figures were better than expected last month. But Nancy Marshall-Ginzer says most stores aren't expecting the holiday shopping season to break any records.
Sales at stores open at least a year were up nearly 4% last month. But will shoppers stay inspired through the holidays? Retail strategist Wendy Liebman says it depends on fuel costs.
If we keep seeing this sort of roller coaster ride of gas prices, it will make people increasingly nervous.
Another factor, mortgage payments. People with adjustable rate mortgages aren't on a roller coaster. They're taking a ride straight up, according to retail analyst Howard Davidowitz.
Because if you've got a $300,000 house, your payment can go up by $700, $800 a month. You suddenly, the consumer has nowhere to go except in the tank.
But other analysts say those higher mortgage payments won't hit until after the holidays, so we'll have time to open our presents before heading into the tank. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
More record territory for the Dow on Thursday. The Dow rose 16 points to 11,866 for its third straight record closing high. The Nasdaq was up 15 points to 2306, and the S&P eased up 3 points to 1353. But in Tokyo, not the same news. The Nikkei fell 13 points. And this is Marketplace. Time to lift our glasses to Orange Julius, Sam Goody, and the Limited. This weekend, the mall turns 50. The nation's first fully enclosed climate-controlled shopping center opened half a century ago in Minneapolis. Minnesota Public Radio's Tony Randolph has more.
When Southdale opened just south of Minneapolis in October of 1956, it was a huge event. St. Olaf College history professor James Farrell says Southdale was the prototype for the modern mall.
Every mall after Southdale is just basically variations on a theme of Southdale because there were lots of problems with malls that Southdale solved.
Those problems, Farrell said, included climate, control of the interior space, and multiple stories. Today, there are more than 1,000 indoor malls in the U.S., and business is booming. Last year, malls and other shopping centers employed more than 12 million people and generated more than $2 trillion in sales. I'm Tony Randolph for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the world's toughest shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. An odd change is taking place on the small screen. The LA Times says the cost of producing a TV drama for one season is about the same as the price of making a movie. And TV executives are spending this money at a time when the total audience for television is getting smaller. Mike Spire is a managing editor for Daily Variety. I asked him if he understood the logic behind this decision.
Very few people get the economics of this decision. It really strikes me as a very bad business model, and it strikes a lot of people as such. Why would the price of something go up if the retention and the audience was going down for anything? And the only reason you can explain it is desperation, because there are certain shows that have clicked that cost a lot, like Lost, were very expensive and saved a network. So any network would love to have that in their pocket, and that's what they're going for. The problem is that the risk is so huge. So getting a Lost is not that easy, but you have to compete, and that's what you have to do, spend the money.
A measure of the desperation is how many new shows fail. When you think of that, and then you think of how much money they're putting into it, you don't find those odds in Vegas.
Right, and television has always been like that. The fall season has always had, let's say, 30 new shows. And on an average, and this is before the money was spent, 5 or 6 shows stick around for more than 2 years. That's a very small percentage. So if you think that same percentage is still carrying over today, why would you spend all that money on these drama pilots if the chance of getting a big hit were very slim and the chance of even getting a regular hit was slim?
The popularity of reality shows were supposed to be a big plus for television because they were cheap to produce. What happened?
They're still cheap to produce. The problem is, of course, too much of a good thing, because we started just with Survivor. And now, of course, every network has 10 of them. And so we have a glut of them, and the ratings plunge, and critics aren't so happy with them. And they decide to go in a different direction, because that's what television does. They click with something, they go to it ad nauseum, and then people realize that it's not always going to work, and they have to go to something else.
How do demographics fit into this? Is the industry not appealing to the right group of viewers?
It's appealing to the right group of viewers, and it's trying very hard because they do their research. They know what they have to get. They know the big demo. They know the 18 to 34 or 18 to 25 demo is what they want. The problem, of course, is that demographic is busy doing a million other things that they didn't have years ago. So while you have iPods, while you have the computer to compete with, you're trying to get that same audience. So what do? They make shows that are very attractive, very pretty, spend a lot of money, and hopefully compete with the movie business, compete with the DVD business. That's one segment that they can think that they can compete with. Whether or not it's working remains to be seen, because a lot of these shows, as good as they are, as attractive as they are, people aren't tuning in. Something like Kidnapped or Standoff. Attractive shows that people say, wow, this is a noble effort. But in a year, it's going to be gone.
Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure.
Mike Spire is managing editor for Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Oh, it's so nice to play golf.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.